This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we stopped on the verse or the end of the surah, لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ دُحَاهَا. They tarried or they remained upon the earth for only some part of the night or some part of the day. Meaning that time on this earth, on this world, is short. Life is short for this individual upon this earth. So what should a person carry out upon this earth? And as the following surah begins to give the codification, what a person needs to carry out upon this earth in a short span of time. Amongst the key elements of the individual upon this earth is a da'wah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to call to the tawheed, to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. Inside Surah An-Nahl that we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, indeed we sent amongst every single nation, every single people. We sent amongst them a messenger who proclaimed أَنْ اِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ, stay away from anything which is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything which is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-shakhs, al-bashar, al-hajar, al-shajar. Trees, stones, statues, people, regimes, isms, beliefs, concepts. All of these worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are batil, all false. The only ruling and the only obedience, atta'a lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what the messengers came to dismantle. Dismantle any other forms of ubudiyah, of worship, and to single out only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be worshipped. That's our role on this earth, is to proclaim the oneness, the entity of worshipping only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this earth. That's our qasd, our ghaya. As Allah mentioned, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. In the Surah Al-Dhariyat, the 51st chapter, verse number 56. The only reason I created the human being and the jinn, لِيَعْبُدُونَ. وَفِي بَعْدِ الْكُتُبِ التَّفَاسِيرِ مَا رُوِيَ عِنْ إِبْنِ عَبَّاسِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُمَا لِيُوَحِّدُونَ. To only single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Him all alone subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is our intent of being placed upon this earth, to preach the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The actions on this earth of ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned, life is short. Life is limited. But in this giving of da'wah, that some of us, we believe that giving da'wah to a certain class of people, to influential people, to the elite people, is our goal, is our intent. And many of us, we forget about the masses of the people, al-awamun nas. You find da'wah tabda min al-bidayah, begins from the beginning, from the bottom, and goes to the top. Is a certain element of truth to that. But in essence, if the people haven't changed, they won't accept that qarar. They won't accept it from fal-fawq min al-tahd. They won't accept it. Because inna Allah لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم. Allah doesn't change the state of the people until they don't change their own selves. ومعظم الناس بالأسف, most of people don't want the governance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the majority of people. فسيروا في الأرض, travel through the earth and see what most people are worried about. They're just worried about the daily rituals of eating, drinking, and having a good life and enjoying themselves, because this is what's been programmed into our minds. Not that what we began with, it's the opposite. That our life is just to remain upon this earth, to be at peace with everybody, at peace with the world. And when you find the opportunity, then you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you find the time, the space, the scope, when it doesn't contradict your worldly life, it doesn't contradict your personal life, or when you have some calamity, some difficulty, ثُمَّ تَوَجِّعْ إِلَى اللَّهِ, then return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أما يوميا, leave us alone to enjoy ourselves like al-bashar, tabi'atul bashar, the rest of mankind, al-insan. وقالوا ما هي إلا حياتنا الدنيا نموت ونحيا وما يهلكنا إلا الدهر. Leave us alone to eat and drink and enjoy ourselves. The only thing that's going to destroy us is the coming of time. So we need to awaken ourselves, al-awam, awaken the masses. That what are we doing on the face of this earth? And as we find that al-du'afa wal-masakeen, the poor and the destitute individuals, most of us pay least attention towards these individuals. And all of this will come crystal clear. We enter into the surah while we're mentioning all these points, because it's related to the whole surah, Surah Abasa, of giving da'wah to people and focusing upon certain individuals, not focusing upon other individuals. Likewise, the end of Surah An-Nazi'at that we forgot to mention, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ, they ask you about the hour. Al-Khitab lil-Rasul alayhi salatu salam, they ask you about the last day. Al-ilmu inda Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa indahu mafatihu al-ghaybi la ya'lamuha illa hu. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the keys of the unseen. No one knows about them. No one knows the total unseen except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a false creed, a belief. أن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يعلم الغيب وعنده علم الساعة. It's a false belief. People believe that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام believes or knows when the last hour will exactly be. The only thing that he knows, فقد جاء أشراطها, its signs have come. Prophecies have been told to him, this and this is going to take place. As for the total knowledge of the unseen, only belongs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لأن هذه السورة بعد هذه الآيات عبس وتولى أن جاءه الأعمى, shows the limitations of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And here we should make a disclaimer that all the words that I'll use in English, because some people may take offense to them, because it's the English language. But our intent is not in any millimeter to betray or to belittle the rank of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Because some people may try to snip at that and say that he's trying to belittle the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. We only mention the Quran, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّ أَنْ جَاءُ الْأَعْمَى, he frowned and he turned away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the English language rebuking the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Why? Because we mention علم الغيب عند الله. If he had knowledge of the unseen, he would know that this individual approaching him, what he wants or what he wants to say to him, or he would conceal something being said about him. That's why Aisha radiallahu ta'ala mentioned about this ayah or about this abasa wa tawalla. فَإِنْ كَانَ الرَّسُولُ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَكْتُمْ شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْوَحِيِ, if the Prophet ﷺ wanted to conceal something from revelation, he would have concealed these verses. He would have concealed this knowledge. Because normally the Quran is al-khitab, ya ayyuhar rasul, ya ayyuhan nabi, ya ayyuhal al-muzammil, ya ayyuhal mudathir. Al-khitab lir-rasul fi ghayat al-ihtiram, is immense respect. Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin 'azim wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That's how the Quran makes khitab للرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. ولكن هنا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the third person, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى, he frowned and he turned away, and جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى, that a blind individual came to him. There's a whole theme about this surah, about this blind individual, كَانَ مِنَ الضُّعَفَاء وَالْمَسَّكِينَ, from the weak individuals. Because as we mentioned that some of us, we want to focus upon the elite people. وَالرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, at this moment in time, he took his inclination as a human being. Because look at the depiction of the scenario. And you see that his judgment was right as a human being. But as a point of revelation, it was not the right decision to do, to turn away from this blind individual. Thus we find that the Prophet ﷺ kana ma'a with the leaders of the Quraysh. Some of them, ulama tafsir, they mentioned like Utbah, wa Shayba, wa Walid ibn Mughira, wa Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Even though Imam al-Tabri inside his tafsir doesn't accept to make these individuals, those individuals who were there, because just find a general Quraysh, some elite members of the Quraysh. So imagine that scenario, a few seconds, a few minutes, just to speak to the king, to speak to the leader, to speak to the president, speak some a famous personality, famous individual, a few moments for you just to speak to them. And somebody comes to you, and I, once again, using these words linguistically, begins to nag you, I want to speak to you, I want to ask you something, but your mindset. My mindset is that this moment in time, these few seconds are precious for me to speak to this individual. To give this give these individuals da'wah, because if one of them accept this da'wah, then it will take away the persecution inside Makkah. This is the scenario. So the judgment of the Prophet ﷺ swings towards the right judgment that this is the moment to speak to these individuals. So he's expecting that when these individuals, when they've turned away, that revelation is going to come and give him comfort, that you made your best effort to give them da'wah, to speak to them, to remind them, you're upset, guidance isn't inside your hands, persevere, continue the message, continue the journey. That's what the Prophet ﷺ was expecting. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down? Jibreel ﷺ to come and to say what? عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّ أَنْ جَاعُ الْأَعْمَى هَذِي مُعْجِزَ فِي نَفْسِهَا. This is a miracle in itself that shows the miraculous nature of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, the miraculous nature of the Qur'an. The Qur'an is miraculous from the beginning to the end. Surah Al-Masad, تَبَّتْ يَدَى أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ كَانَ حَيًّا. Abu Lahab was living. And would always contradict the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He would come and speak to people, come and say the opposite. أَنَّهُ السَّاحِرْ وَالْكَاهِنْ وَمَجْنُونَ يُخَالِفْ بَيْنَ الْأَهْلِ. He's a magician, he's a soothsayer, he's a sorcerer, he splits family members. Living. تَبَّتْ يَدَى أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ. May the two hands of Abu Lahab, may they perish. Kinaya, may he be destroyed. Wretched individual. All Abu Lahab had to come and do what? All he had to do is say, I testify that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah, and the Prophet ﷺ is the messenger of Allah. Lie. Just say it on the tip of his tongue, lie. That's all he had to say. Because these ayat were sent down while he was living. But because the Quran is an eternal miracle given to us Muslims, the Quran knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this individual is not even going to fake these words. So he dies mushrikan. So that's these verses are in the ghayatul al-ijaz. عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّ أَنْ جَاءُ الْأَعْمَى. And to go as a side point, these leaders of the Quraysh, amongst them Umayyah ibn Khalaf that we find, who was Umayyah? He was the master of Bilal ibn Rabah. He used to torture him. He used to harm him. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was one who came and bought him and freed him. That's why Umar used to say that Abu Bakr sayyiduna wa a'taqa sayyidana. Abu Bakr is our master and he set free our master. Our master is Bilal. You know, in his build-up of Black Lives Matter and Black National History Movement. Look at the seer of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, people around him. When Abu Dharr al-Ghifari said to Bilal, Yabna Sawda. A fact. You son of a black woman. What did Abu Dharr al-Ghifari say to him? Ya Abu Dharr fik al-Jahiliyyah. You're an ignorant man. There's jahiliyyah inside. You know jahiliyyah? ركزوا على الجهل. Because we live in an environment but surrounded by racism. It's indoctrinated within us. And I want you to go back and read all the blogs and the views and the comments from Muslims to Muslims to black Muslims to Asian Muslims. كل هذه جاهلية. All of this is جاهلية. That's all it is. That's all it is from every section that we find inside a society. And the Prophet ﷺ, he warned Abu Dhar al-Ghifari. He said, this is jahiliyyah. Abu Dhar al-Ghifari placed down his head. He said, I'm not going to stand up. Put my head up until Bilal doesn't step on my head. He doesn't step on my head. You know, that's what the world needs. The end of racism is al-Islam. That's the end of racism. Malcolm X spoke about it 50-odd years ago. Read his autobiography with Alex Haley. That what America needs, it needs Islam. That's what the world needs. The end of educated, non-educated, black, white, class systems, caste systems. What will destroy that? Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. Is al-Islam will wipe it out. That's what we should be abreast inside society, because we have racism amongst ourselves. We should uproot it, go back to the Quran and the Sunnah. And study what people are facing. You know, there should be a soft spot inside a heart and a mind to see what's taking place in the world. And we shouldn't be so shallow and look at whether the person had a weapon, whether they were a criminal, whether they were eating in a haram place, whether they were doing this, whether they were doing that. People are being persecuted. People are being persecuted because of the skin of their color. A Muslim should be at the forefront to highlight. It doesn't mean that we go out and we march and we parade with these people, because this movement in itself, Muslims should be careful. Inside this movement, read the ethos. Go to the website of Black Lives Matter. Read the ethos of what they believe in. It's amongst the agenda as well. So don't fall into the trap. Our agenda and the way that we uproot this is via Islam. It's via teaching people Islam. Rectifying people about Islam. Read works like Black Like Me. An individual in the 50s or the 60s, a white man who tanned himself to become black, to go and live amongst black people, to work with them, to be with them, to feel and to face racism. And this isn't the Maudu, but just to give you a glimpse, he goes to the person who used to clean his shoes when he was a white individual. Because a black man used to wipe his shoes. Now he goes as a black individual, tanned, to stand in, the white guy doesn't recognize him, but he recognizes the voice. He brings himself down to see what the people, and he weeps in the book, he weeps, he cries. That is this what the black race are facing and they're going through inside their lives. It's not a Hollywood movie, it's a fact. He tanned his skin. He went under a tanning machine. Hours on end to look black and then walk inside the black community society and live with them, and he suffered with them to write the story. Read Man Child to the Promised Land, written some 1964-65, just before Malcolm X's autobiography, about the streets of Harlem, how this person faced racism. The Prophet ﷺ, he surrounded these individuals with individuals that he loved. That's why the Quraysh didn't want to listen. They said, move these people away. Move these poor people away. Then we listen. Just like today, Muslims today. They believe that just because royal members may come and something like this, move poor people away. Move clerics away. Move religious people away. Abasa wa tawalla. Get rid of these people. We want to speak to elite people. We want to impress elite people. We want elite people to look at us in a good manner. Why don't you want the awam to look at you in a good manner? The people around you, Muhammadur Rasulullah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعْوَ شِدَّعُ الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. I'm not saying let's be stern and harsh towards them. But where's the love and affection towards our own Muslims? What do we do all the time? Place Muslims like boxes and packages and this Muslim. But no, but this about this Muslim. But this about this Muslim. But this about this Muslim. Well, think about this on the day of judgment. But what? But this about you on the day of judgment. But this about you on the day of judgment. But this about you on the day of judgment. I'm la takhaf Allah. Don't you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That on that day you'll be asked. And thus the Quran encourages the Prophet ﷺ to be with such individuals who call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the evening, in the daytime, to be amongst these individuals. So he surrounded himself with these individuals. Suhaib al-Rumi, Salman al-Farisi, Bilal, and this individual, Abdullah ibn Maktoum, the blind companion, Kafif, Tarir, came to ask the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, Allimni mimma allamak Allah. Teach me from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught you. That's what he's asking the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, and he turns away. He can't see the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. He can't see his actions. He can't see that all that he done is he frowned. Abasa, all it means is frowned. So there's no clear depiction of he said some words to him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not accept that. Did not accept this from his preacher. This is a lesson for all of us. That don't look down upon any individual. Don't despise any individual. قَدْ يَكُونَ هَذَا الشَّخْصِ أَحَبُّ الشَّخْصِ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. This individual could be the most beloved individual in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we turn away? لِنَّهُ ضَعِيف. Weak, miskeen. مَعِنْدَوْ إِسْمِ. He has no name, he has no title, he has no wealth, he has no property. He has no education. That's what we do as Muslims as well. Pay no attention. And this individual could be the closest individual to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مِنْ فَضَائِلْ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ابْنُ مَكْتُومٍ. He was a relative to Khadija radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Bilal would give the first adhan in Ramadan, and Abdullah ibn Maktoum would give the second adhan inside Ramadan. Wal Rasul alayhi salam istakhlafahu marratayn ala al-Madina. The Prophet alayhi salam made him the imam, the leader to be in charge of Medina twice when he went out on expeditions. So after this occasion, he would say, Marhaban, welcome to the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectified me regarding this individual. Some athar that we find, Addabani Rabbi waqad ahsana ta'dibi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that taught me adab and perfected my adab. That's why a person should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for adab, al-akhlaq. We find in Ba'd al-Ahadith, when a person looks inside the mirror, Allahumma ahsin khuluqi kama ahsanta khalqi. Oh Allah, perfect my character just like you perfected the creation of me. That's why ulama of lugha, they speak about the relationship between kha, lam, qaf, between khalq and khuluq. They speak about this relationship that your characteristics should become just like your creation, your bodily structure. It's not fake that you do it on the checkout when a person pays you the money, you smile at them. When they give something to you. The Muslim does it lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That their character is checked because why? They're worried about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the reason why we're worried about our characteristics and our behavior. We're not worried necessarily about people. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads us to behave in such a manner. So Abdullah ibn Maktoum that we find the fada'il. Inside Surah Al-Tawbah, we find certain ayat speaking about this individual praising him. Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, he mentions that in the battle of Qadisiyah, Ra'aytu, who saw him with a shield and armor and a spear. Remember, this companion is blind. He's a blind companion. Battle of Qadisiyah, Ibn Kathir writes inside his tafsir, Ibn Kathir, that he was visualized in the battle of Qatufiya Shahidan. And he died as a martyr in the battle of Qadisiyah, as a blind individual. These are just some of the fada'il of the individual, his companion, being with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abasa wa tawalla an ja'u al-a'ma. You turned away when this blind individual came to you. And you think that these individuals, they're going to be purified? These elite people. Thus you find maslahatul da'wah is a deep science. It's not like today people think that just do whatever they want to do and make their videos on YouTube. This is a refutation, this person, this of this person. This is maslahatul nas. La'adha kullu kalam farigh. Who are you to ascertain what's maslaha lil-nas? Shab, 20 sana, 20 years old, 2-3 years practice your deen. Anna allan wa fulan an annahu dalun, jahilun, ma yafham shay la yafqa shay. هذه مصلحة الدعوة. This is the benefit of the da'wah. Imam Sa'di mentions a principle from this surah. Don't leave something that you know is a fact. لِأَمْرْ مَوْهُومْ, for something which is doubtful. Meaning that giving da'wah to the masses of the people, there's a general fawaid benefit for that. Don't leave it for speculation that if I do this, it may be beneficial. Because you don't know the end result. If I speak to this woman, there could be the end result of her becoming Muslim. If you speak to this woman, it could also be the essence of you falling into sin. And some of us think this is extreme. Sometimes I think myself is extreme. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the purity of this deen. How many text messages may I receive in a week from brothers saying that قَدْ وَقَعْتُ فِي الزِّنَا, I fell into zina. What should I do now? I want to get married again. Advise me. وَكُلُّ هَذِي الْأَسْئِلَةُ كُلُّهَا, all of them, after studying and looking into it, the answer was simple. The answer was simple. Work environment surrounded with women. Al-ikhtilat bayna rijali wa nisa. 99% of the cases, that's all it was. You surrounded yourself in an environment of temptation. You surrounded yourself inside that environment. And then you want to find the hal to come out of that situation. That's why deenuna fitratullahi fatra an-nasa alayha la tabdila li khalqillah. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure, no change in that. That's what this the elite people that they want to change the foundation of the deen. You know, deen isn't compatible in the modern world. We need this, we need that, we need that. We need engagement inside society. We need this, this will help people Islam. How will that people in Islam? Shave your beard, wear a tuxedo. How's that going to help Islam? Go to a dinner, fine dine with people. هذه المصلحة للدعوة. أي مصلحة هذه? What مصلحة is this? You lost your deen. It's مصلحة for giving people دعوة. Person should be vigilant about دعوة. دعوة هو دين الله سبحانه وتعالى. Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is powerful. It's pure. It's pristine. It's orthodox. Doesn't need any tampering. Doesn't need any diluting. Doesn't need any mixing. Doesn't need any solution that this is it. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what was yesterday is today. Teach that to the people. Few external factors that may be there to help the people in such society that we find. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَ فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ. Then Allah mentions, كَلَّا إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَ. This is a reminder. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ. Whoever wants to pay attention. The تَذْكِرَ of what? Of the Qur'an. Al-Qur'an تَذْكِرَ ذِكْر. Either this story will be a reminder for us or the Qur'an itself. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَهُ فِي صُحُفٍ مُكَرَّمَ مَرْفُوعَةٍ مُطَهَرَ بِأَيْدٍ سَفَرَ كِرَامٍ بَرَرَ. This book is in a pristine hands, pure hands, with the angels, the scribes, who write it down purified. That's what Abu Bakr al-Jazari inside the tafsir, he mentions. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Qur'an being pure. The Qur'an is pure, then it should be respected as purity, and a person who carries the Qur'an, person who searches for the Qur'an, should try to be a pure individual. Because sahibul Qur'an, we find inside this hadith, whoever is proficient in reciting the Qur'an, مَعَ السَّفَرَ كِرَارٍ بَرَرَ, will be with the safara, with the scribes is one meaning. The other meaning of safara is the ambassadors, the safir. The ambassador, the one who's taking the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bringing it down to this earth, Ayyhal, both of them carry the meaning of being the angels. Writing it down. The person who recites the Quran will be with the noble scribes, the pure angels. That's what he's trying to hint at, this hadith. وَالَّذِي يَقْرَأُهُ فَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ. And a person recites it and finds difficult in citing the Quran, hadith inside Bukhari Muslim, وَلَهُ أَجْرَانٌ. He will have two rewards. Look, many of us, that's what we suffer from. Quran is hard to recite, hard to learn, hard to... Ajran, two rewards. Targhib linnas. Once again, many of the problems that we're facing is because we're far away from the Quran. We don't recite the Quran, we don't ponder over the Quran, we don't reflect over the Quran. We don't begin our day with the Quran. Al-Quran, inna lahu halawa. Quran has sweetness. Inside of the Quran awakens the individual, strengthens the soul. The day begins with recital of the Quran. As we find that Salatul Fajr, Al Rasul alayhi salam kana yaqra akthar min 100 ayat. 100 ayat. The rest of the salawat, Maghrib and Isha, would shorten them and advise the imams to keep them short, to keep them simple and easy for the people. But Fajr, but now you have people complaining about Fajr, that Fajr is too long. Fajr is the beginning of the day. That a recital awakens your soul, awakens your body, awakens your life, awakens your day. To strengthen yourself for the rest of the day. And that now is being dismantled as well, because once again, that it's just rituals. It's just rituals, that's all it is, just rituals. It's no impact inside our lives of the impact of the Quran that we find. Then Allah mentioned that after all of this, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ قُتِلَ بِمَعْنَى اللَّعْنِ التَّوْبِيخ. It's a severe warning and rebuking the مَا أَكْفَرَ. أَمَّا Imam Sa'di mentions أَكْفَرَهُ الْكَافِرْ أَوْ جُحُودُ النِّعْمِ. The person who rejects the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both of them fall here. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ. How destroyed be the human being. Either he's a kafir who rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he's a person who rejects the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. Look from what we created the human being. The relationship between this, the beginning of the human being, the end of the human being, and between being this human being and being this arrogant individual. Look at the Quran. Dynamic in its approach and trying to remind us, look at these individuals, the elite of the people, who they think that they are. That's what Imam Al-Hassan Al-Basri, he mentioned. How can an individual, كيف شخص أو إنسان يكون متكبرا وقد خرج من سبيل البول مرتين. How can a human being be arrogant when he came out from two passages of the urine twice? The passage of the father and the passage of the mother. What is he being arrogant about? That he, from this despicable water, this is what it becomes. That's why Mustafa Al-Adwi in his tafsir, he mentions, look at the beginning of the individual and look at the end. Beginning is mimma'in mahin, is despicable water. And the end of the individual is what? A dead corpse. That's it. That's insan. So all this that we're fighting over, all this that we want, domination, power, control, strength, wealth, control, name, rank, honor, dignity. Just in between these two factions. That's it. Finish. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. مِن نُطْفَةٍ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَ ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَهُ ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ. Ulama tafaseer, they mention يَسَّرَهُ. Most of the ulama tafaseer go to the view الْخُرُوج مِن بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the child out of the womb of the mother, the stomach of the mother. The other meaning is السَّبِيل, showed in the paths. إِنَّ هَدَيْنَا السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا.
Quran is ajeeb, ya ayyul ikhwa. Quran is ajeeb. We showed you the two paths. Wahadaynahu najdain. We showed you the two paths. The two paths. All of us. We're not young children anymore. We're grown up adults. Hada tariq al-shar wa hada tariq al-khair. This is the path of goodness, the path of evil. You make that choice. I make that choice to go on that path. No need to blame anybody else. Or use an excuse. We as adults, we choose to go this path, we go to that path. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَهُ. Then we cause him to die. فَأَقْبَرَهُ. هَذَا يَكْفِيكُمْ. That's enough just to ponder over this. He'll cause you to die for akbarahu and bring you inside your graves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when a human being is dead, look how he gives a human being dignity. He doesn't leave you as a dead corpse on the face of this earth. For akbarahu, he makes the people place you inside a grave. Doesn't leave you, because practices before this just leave you on the land. Let the animals come and eat you, etc. Just leave you there. But Allah mentions that He would cause you to die and place you, bury you inside the ground. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَهُ. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hour is established, أَنْشَرَهُ will bring him out. There's no running away. There's no running away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only running for firru ilallah, run to Allah. Don't run away from Allah. Because when you try to run away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will run after you, bima'na will take you inside the state of you running away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no fleeing. Ista'iddu, we need to prepare ourselves. All of us need to prepare ourselves. Every single night, every single one of us, every single day, all of us should reflect. What have I prepared for tomorrow? What have I prepared when I go into the grave? What have I prepared myself? What will happen to me when I enter to that grave in a state of darkness? Al-dhulumat ba'da dhulumat, darkness ba'da darkness after darknesses. No one will be there. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. That's how the surah ends. Fleeing from everything. Fleeing from those things that the least love is. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, from his brother. There is a love that's there. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ, his mother, his father. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ, his wife, more love. And what's more beloved than all of these previous things? وَبَنِيهِ, his children. المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا. Wealth and property are the beautiful things of this dunya. But Allah again, once again mentions that the things of the hereafter are far better. Ibn Kathir mentions that his tafsir regarding this verse of fleeing away, that people will be coming and asking a person just for a one good deed, an atom's weight of good deed, give it to me on that day. Person, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, would flee from these people. That in this dunya, we'd break our backs for them. We'd break our backs for our brothers, for our mothers, for our fathers, for our wives, for our children. On that day, they're going to ask for one good deed, one atom's weight of good deed. Even the messengers, nafsi, nafsi, would say, myself, myself, will flee away. That's what that day is going to be. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَةِ. الصَّاخَ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, from the names of يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Imam Qursi, we collect some 25 odd names. وَإِمَامَ الْبَغْوِ, inside his tafsir, he mentioned الصَّاخَة is a sound that deafens. It's a sound that deafens people. That's what Aisha mentioned about these verses, that on the day of judgment, people are going to be standing there. She said that, أَيَنْظُرُ بَعْدُنَا إِلَى بَعْدٍ. Will some of us look at other individuals? Because as we know, on the day of judgment, we're all going to be standing in a state of nudity, no clothing, uncircumcised, standing there in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this natural question came to our mind as human beings, just like many of us may think that on that day, will people look at the aura of another individual? إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ أَشَّدُّ مِنْ هَذَا. The affair is far more severe than that. For a person to glance at someone else, to look at them, to look at their state, to look at their condition. Every individual will be worried about their own self. Some people sweating to their ankles, to their shanks, to their knees, to their thighs, to their waist, to their stomach, to their shoulder blades, to their noses. Some people drowning on that day in their sweat because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that day, fearing what will happen to them. Because the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one can flee from it. لمن الملك اليوم لله الواحد القهار. On that day, who does kingdomship, sovereign power, dominionship, control, wealth, power, who does it belong to? Belongs to Allah. All of us will be in front of the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll be there, standing there, to give our responses on that day. So the theme of this surah, just like the previous surahs, continues with the theme of Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment. And as you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned towards the end of this surah, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. Some faces that day will be glowing, will be radiant, will be smiling with a state of happiness. And some faces will be darkened and be gloomy, and dust be upon their faces. And as we find that as Muslims, we began with that. That's why we the awamun nas, abshiru, give yourself glad tidings. We are going to Jannah. La shak fi dhalik, there's no doubt about that as a Muslim. It's only about where we could be stopped, and where we could be punished, and how long the delay could be. That's as we began with those elite people. If they die in that state, fa masirum ila nar, the end is the fire. There's no sugarcoating saying that, oh, maybe the person was a good person, maybe the person done these good things, done these charitable actions, done this, helped this person, spoke well about Islam, done this, la. Finished. No shahadatain, and nutq bi shahadatain, no declaration of two faiths. Whether it be even, let's say even in private, that's the end of the individual. Hadhi aqidatuna, that should be the belief of the Muslim. Make no excuses. As for the Muslim, always make excuses for a Muslim. That's when a Muslim, when they die, speak well of them. Speak well of them when they leave this dunya with what intent? That when I die, that people speak well of me. You find in some narrations, if 100 people, doesn't say thousands of people, if 100 people pray sincerely for the mayyit, for the dead person, their shafa'ah will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we should enter the funeral prayer, that I want to be amongst that 100 people who make dua for this person sincerely, that tomorrow when I die, that perhaps there will be 100 people who pray sincerely for me. And I'll be amongst those people whose faces will be radiant, will be glowing. وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Some face that they will be glowing on that day, looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, another place inside the Quran, Allah mentioned, يَوْمَ تَبْيَدُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ. Some faces that day will be glowing, and some faces that day will be darkened. That's why we need to study the Quran, فَرِيقٌ فِي النَّارِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. A team. فَرِيق, look at the language of the Quran, a team, a group, a people will be in the hellfire, and there will be a team inside Jannah. حزب الله ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون. The group of Allah, the party of Allah, will be مفلحون, will be successful. That's what we need to find, is the group and the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah concludes the surah mentioning أولئك الكفرة الفجرة. These individuals who don't believe, they are kafra and al-fajra. That's why some people, that once again, say it's not very nice to always say that they're kuffar. No, we don't always say they're kuffar, but disbelievers are disbelievers. Sometimes you have to say it clearly. That according to the Quran, a person who doesn't believe, fahuwa kafir. He's a disbeliever. For you, it may be derogatory. For another Muslim, it may be derogatory, but until they don't believe, the technical terminology of such individuals, that they are disbelievers. So the Quran mentions, أُولَٰئِكَ مُلْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرِ. These people are kafara, al-kafara, qulubuhum. And you find al-fajra fi a'malihim. That they're rebellious. You might find fujur is rebellious behavior, sinning that we find. That's what the Quran mentions, وَلَا يَلِدُ إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا. And then the Surah Nuh alayhi salam, that we find that he prayed against these individuals right at the end after 950 years of giving them da'wah. If you leave these individuals, they're going to send your servants astray. وَلَا يَلِدُ إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا. They're only going to give birth to rebellious and wicked and disbelieving individuals. How can we change that tide? Look inside our own community. What are we giving birth to? If we take that linguistically, what are we giving birth to inside our society? What is being placed inside our society? Are Muslims heading towards the path towards Jannah? The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And just as I began with that, the rest of us, what are we doing? We're squabbling amongst ourselves, arguing amongst ourselves. That the masses of people, they're blind. They want guidance. We don't want to pay any attention towards them. As we argue amongst ourselves, these blinded people, not to sound derogatory, they think if you individuals, you religious clerics, you religious people, you can't set your own record straight. You can't behave with your own selves. So why should I bother fixing my life? Because if this is what it means to be a practicing Muslim, I'm happy doing what I do in my life. It's not a justification, but that's what some people, they think. And that's what a lot of people are thinking now. That what benefit will I gain inside my life? If all I see you religious individuals at each other's throats, how will that make me a better individual? And as we find that this surah is one of maslahatul da'wah, teaching us da'wah, how to engage with people, how to show love, affection, care, attention, kindness towards people, towards society. Understand, just don't become a person on a rampage. People have different journeys, different concepts, strange concepts, strange things that they have there, they've lived inside their lives. A person needs to understand how to engage with them, to remind them, to help them develop love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside their hearts. Once that comes, the rest is simple. The rest, they will abandon it themselves. But we're focusing upon the eggshells, which break easily. Focus on the yolk, the golden enamel inside the egg that you find. That is focus on the heart of the people. Then they'll come towards closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.